Good morning. Are you awake this morning? Welcome to our service this morning at Woodbridge Community Church. And we are assembling, aren't we? We're just assembling in many different places throughout Orange County and California and the United States and the world. Crazy days that you and I are living in. Good to be with you today. Today we're going to have a really, I believe God has a strong message to give you this morning. I believe God's going to be speaking into your heart. I pray that you just right now tell the Lord that you're opening your heart to listen to Him. We're going to read this morning, as we like to do this, a tradition at this church, as we like to read God's Word before we begin, just for us just to quiet our thoughts and to focus on eternal truth. This morning we're going to start by reading Psalm 1, and if wherever you are, be it at home or maybe you're at the beach or wherever you are, I'm going to ask you just to, in honor to God, let's stand and stand for the honor of God's Word as we read the Word of the living God. Psalm chapter 1 says this: "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do, they prosper. Not so with the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Father, we pray this morning that You would open our ears to hear the Word of God. I pray, Jesus, that You'd touch our eyes that we could see spiritual things this morning. We pray, Lord God, for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit upon us today. The Spirit of truth that would go deep within our soul. I ask, God, that You would become personal to us today, that You would speak to all of us, not just collectively as a body of Christ on a spiritual journey to meet Christ and to know Christ and follow Christ. But God, speak to us individually as people on a journey trying to meet Jesus personally and to know Jesus personally and to follow Jesus personally. Spirit of the living God, fall upon us today. Speak wisdom and truth into us. We ask this for Your glory. We pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And y'all may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. And again, hey, we're excited about tonight. So here we are trying to tap dance and figure out how to walk through this pandemic. And tonight we're going to be meeting again out in our courtyard. It's going to be between 7 and 8 o'clock. And you can come and pull up in the parking spots in front of the church. And we have a transponder, so you can sit in your car and just turn on the radio and listen to the service. And you can wave at people. We can do this and be safe. Bring a mask and you can come and sit around. Bring chairs and we'll sit around and we're going to be singing to the Lord, worshiping the Lord, praying to the Lord in community, outside. Social distancing doesn't stop us. It's going to be awesome. Look forward to seeing you tonight. Have you ever in your life been in a situation where you struggled staying awake driving? Have you ever been driving a car and your eyelids got so heavy that have you ever fallen asleep driving? I remember a time when I was driving back from Phoenix. I was heading to actually Huntington Beach one night, and I remember waking up hearing the bumps on the road, dup, 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 and I'm coming back again. I remember once, have you ever had an experience like this? I remember one time driving late at night, and I watched a car in front of me, and he was over on my left side, and all of a sudden he just started moving over my direction, and he goes past me and up off into the shoulder, and it was a hill, and he rolled, and I went past. As I looked over, I saw the car roll and flip. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror, seeing the dust Even as at nighttime, but just this, the lights of the car as it flipped and rolled. And other cars behind me stopping. The guy fell asleep. Flipped his car, rolled his car. Not blessed. Staying awake when you're driving is a blessing. Can we say that this morning? Staying awake while you're driving is a blessing. Just not for you, but for everybody around you. Staying spiritually awake in hard times is a blessing. Staying awake in hard times is a blessing. Staying spiritually awake in serious days is important. Are we living in serious days? Are we living in hard times? You bet. Here we are in August. A pandemic, economic challenges, social unrest, politics, spiritual darkness in the land. My brother and my sister, there are many that believe that we haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg of this one. That we have challenging days ahead for us. Pastor Frank, are these the last days? Are these the last days? Or is this pandemic a sign of the age that Jesus was asked about in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21? And all I can say to you is that each day we're getting one day closer. And if he was to come back tomorrow, not one of us should be surprised. What would Jesus say to us? It's been interesting as I've been reading the scriptures, specifically Jesus' teaching on this. And that surrounding his teaching as he spoke on the end of the age in the last days, his message was the same. Stay awake, be watchful, be alert. I believe if Jesus was to speak to you this morning, he would tell you, it's important, Christian, for you to stay awake at this time. Don't flip your car spiritually at this time. These are serious days. How do we stay spiritually awake? You know, when you're driving a car and you're getting sleepy, there's things you should do. You should roll down the window, right? You should turn on the music. You should readjust yourself. I mean, there's things you can do to stay awake. Spiritually, there's things we can do to stay awake. And ultimately, it's basically be with Jesus. The way to stay spiritually awake basically is to be with God, spend time with God. Have a quiet time. Christians call them quiet times or devotional times. You need to spend intentional time with God so He can keep you spiritually awake. And we talked about this last week. You know, find a time that you're going to spend with God. Find a place that you're going to spend with God. And when you spend that time, think, focus your mind on who He is. Talk to Him. And then open up God's Word and begin reading Scripture and let God speak to you. The Word of God. When we take time to read the Scriptures, we're lifting our minds vertically, like in our bumper. All this stuff going on horizontally. And then there's this vertical drift. When you open the Scriptures, your mind is going from horizontal to vertical. And you begin to enter in to the thoughts of God, the wisdom of God, of who God is and who you are in His sight. Blessings. Blessings. The book of Psalms holds a very dear place in the heart of many believers, both in the Old Testament and in the New. The book of Psalms, the 150 Psalms written in the Old Testament, is a beautiful collection of writings that is a blending of emotion and theology. The book of Psalms is special. The journaling of King David as he struggles between faith and fear. There's so much When you read the Psalms and you enter into the Psalms, every believer has a favorite Psalm. As a matter of fact, for me as a person coming out of the 80s, I love the band U2. And actually, U2 wrote a famous hit. They made a bunch of money with this. It's just called 40. 40. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. Right? I will sing anew. It's the Psalms. They believed back in the days when the Psalms were written that many of the Psalms were actually sung in the tabernacle and in the temple. When we enter this very special book, the gateway to this book, the doorway to this book, the chapter that sets the stage for the book of Psalms is Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 starts with these words. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. How blessed is the one who follows God, who knows His word. Blessed. It starts with a blessing. I love how the book of Psalms begins with a declaration of blessing to those who seek the Lord. A blessing to those who seek the Lord. If you want to take notes with me this morning, you should write note number one down. A basic truth that you should meditate on. God desires to bless you. Did you know that? You need to know this from the Lord this morning. God desires to bless you. It's interesting when in Jesus, as He gave His the most famous message of the Lord Jesus Christ, found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of Jesus' sermon was, "Blessed are you." 9 times He says it, "Blessed are you." Blessings from God to you. God's blessings. I love this. Today we sang the song, The Blessing, taken out of Numbers. God instructed Moses to tell the priests, the Aaronic priesthood, to bless my people. To bless my people. In Numbers 6, 22 to 26. Listen to this. Here's the heart of God. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make His face to shine on you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." God wants to bless you this morning. God desires to bless you. But listen closely. This is so important. There is a way to the blessings of God in your life. It's found in a specific path. Listen. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take the seat, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. Did you read this? The blessed person of Psalm 1 is described for what they don't do and what they do do. This person is a person that doesn't walk in step or walk in counsel of the ungodly. He has learned to take wiser counsel, this person. Their footsteps are ordered by the voice of God, the Word of God. This blessed person doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. This blessed person doesn't stand in the path of sinners. This person's company, their friends, have changed. Though this person is still battles with sin, They're a blood-washed sinner, touched by the Holy Spirit and part of the assembly of the reborn. They're righteous through the cross. They're a child of God. They don't walk with the wicked. They don't stand in the path, right? And they don't sit. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. These people find no rest in the assembly of those who mock the idea of sin, of eternity, of righteousness, and the reality of the eternal God. The blessed person walks, stands, and sits with God instead. Did you catch that? Take a note this morning. God wants to bless you. Note number two, the path to God's blessings in your life lies in His thoughts for you, His truth for you, in Scriptures. The path to God's blessing in your life is through His Word. Blessed is the person of Psalm 1 who has been enlightened to a better philosophy of life, awakened to a higher reality. Have you noticed when people are living in rebellion to God, they go from bad to worse? Have you noticed this? When people are living in rebellion to God, they go from bad to worse. At first, they merely walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They're walking by. And then they stand in the way of open sinning, willfully participating in rebellion to God. And left alone, they will sit along the road of misery and become teachers and tempters for all who pass by to join them. They have their degrees in addictions and in darkness of soul, and they become the mockers of those who don't follow them. Mockers of the idea of morals. Mockers in the idea of righteousness. Mockers in the idea of the God of both. Have you noticed that when people are living in rebellion to their Creator, their life goes from bad to worse? The darkened soul. Have you ever met people like this? I have. I used to be one. I used to walk in the counsel of the lost. It was my life. I was standing and participating in the sins of the lost. I used to sit in the dwelling of the scornful, the mockers of God. I used to mock the idea of God. I used to mock people who believed in God at a season of my life. Do you know what that life brings? Misery, not blessing. My experience. Misery, driven by fears, hatred, driven by hurt and bondage, flipped over on the roads of life. I used to be one of these people. But notice in Psalm 1, it's interesting, you see this progression. You're walking, and then you stop, and you're listening, and pretty soon you're sitting. You're walking along life, and then you listen, and pretty soon you're sitting, and you join the company. There's a progression of spiritual decay, but I would argue that there's also there's an opposite progression. Imagine walking and meeting Jesus and stopping and listening to Jesus. And before you know it, you're sitting with Jesus. You're becoming the Mary with Martha and Mary, and you're being blessed as you sit at the feet of Almighty God, God in human flesh. The blessings. There's a spiritual progression. The blessed person of Psalm 1 walks, stands, and sits with God. The blessed person of Psalm 1 walks, stands, and sits with God. The blessed person of Psalm 1 has risen vertically to the truth of the wisdom of God for their life. They figured it out. In this life, who are you listening to? In this life, who are you learning from? Question for you this morning. See, I argue that if there's a person that can raise from the dead, you ought to listen to them because they know more than you do. Who are you listening to? Who are you learning from? The world or God? If your professor and Jesus are different in a perspective, you guess who you should listen to? Your professor hasn't risen from the dead. Jesus has. Who are you learning from? Who are you listening to? How you answer that question determines your blessings. Jesus, people, is a game changer. And my life's a living testimony to it. Blessed is the one, Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. They found a better way, right? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. The blessed person, do you see it in Psalm 1? The awakened person, spiritually awake, knows the voice of heaven. And in this they delight in the voice of God, in the Word of God. The blessed person meditates on God's Word. They understand that when heaven speaks, it's for them to listen. When heaven speaks to you, is it for you to listen? When heaven commands, it's for you to obey. When heaven calls, it's for you to answer. When heaven invites, it's for us to respond to the invitation. The blessed person of Psalm 1 has crossed a line with the Word of God. They just don't acknowledge the Word of God. There it is. And they just don't open it and study it, But they've crossed a line where they've begun to delight in the Word of God. Has this been your experience? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? A few years ago we went to the Grand Canyon. You've ever been to the Grand Canyon? I'm going to shoot up a picture for you of the Grand Canyon. I want to tell you straight up, no picture can capture the Grand Canyon. The first time, if you've ever had this experience, you know, you can acknowledge, yeah, I know about the Grand Canyon. I've seen it. I hear about it. Yes, and you can maybe study the Grand Canyon. How long is it and this and that and the other. But when you experience the Grand Canyon, when you first walk up to that edge and look out, there's no words to describe what it's like. I remember the first time looking out, and I just couldn't believe it. Have you ever had this experience? I knew about it, and I've maybe said, but to experience the majesty of the Grand Canyon, to delight as your eyes are filled with this wonder of the world. It's like that with the Word of God. People, oh, there's Grandma's Bible. There it is, sitting over there. You pick up, you maybe begin studying it. But the person of Psalm 1 has crossed the line to where all of a sudden the Word of God has become living and active. The Word of God has become medicine to your soul. The Word of the living God, God's voice begins speaking to you in His Word. The person of Psalm 1 has crossed the line with God's Word to where they delight in the Word of God. They delight in the Word of God. Has that been your experience? Do you delight in the Word of the living God? And what is it about the Word of God that a person should delight in? Have you ever thought about that? The God of the Bible deals with our fallenness. It deals with our redemption. It's a book interested in our rescue from sin, our moral rehabilitation, and our spiritual regeneration. God in the Bible is interested in keeping us right and making us useful and causing us to grow up into maturity as a child of God. Are these things to delight in? Psalm chapter 1 verse 2. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on His law day and night. Is that you? Is that you? When you think about the word meditation, what do you think of? Do you think of the lotus position, kind of an Eastern mysticism? When you hear the word meditation, what do you think of? Eyes closed, palms upward, empty your mind, yoga. The world's understanding of meditation is rooted in Eastern mysticism. But what does the Bible mean when it speaks of meditation? Found in Psalm 1 or Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 it says, God says the same thing basically in Psalm 1. Keep the book of this law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous. You will be successful. The Hebrew word for meditation is haga, which is used for the cooing of a dove. Have you ever heard the cooing of a dove? Have you ever seen doves in a tree and heard them cooing? That's the word meditation, the cooing of a dove. When the Bible speaks of meditation, it's speaking to the idea of a murmuring or a whispering to yourself as you're thinking on the Word of God. It's interesting. God says to Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. You're meditating, you're cooing, you're thinking, you're stirring in, you're speaking to yourself God's Word. You've acknowledged God's Word, you've studied God. No, I'm now delighting in the Word of God and now I'm meditating. I'm stirring in the Word of God from my head down into my heart. I'm meditating. Biblical meditation. Referring to a cooing like a dove that's always speaking to themselves. It's repetitive. It's thoughtful rehearsing of the truth of God in a person's life. Thinking on truth until it reaches our hearts. Is this your experience? Psalm 119, 11. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How do you hide God's Word in your heart? You meditate on it. You journey with it. A note this morning. Biblical meditation. Biblical meditation, note number 3, is dwelling on truth until it reaches deep in your heart. Have you ever done this? Have you ever experienced this? To be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. Have you ever meditated on that? Be still and know I'm God. Have you ever cooed, meditated on that verse? Stirred that verse? Be still and know that I'm God. Or how about in Ephesians 4 when it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't give Satan a foothold in your life. Have you ever meditated on that verse? Studied that, not past your delight, you're meditating, you're cooing on that verse. Have you ever meditated on Scripture? The blessed person of Psalm 1, their spiritual journey has taken them to where they delight in the Word of God and they meditate on the Word of God. The blessed person of Psalm 1 knows this. And they're blessed because of it. How does the Bible describe what a blessed person looks like? Psalm 1:3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do, they prosper. God says a person of Psalm 1 is like a person planted by a tree. Trees in the desert. We're living in a desert called humanity. God says a person who understands my word and has moved from acknowledging to studying to actually embracing and delighting and meditating on, God says these people are like trees planted by streams of water, and they yield their fruit in their seasons. What seasons are you in? You know, right now, cherries are in season, and Pastor Frank loves cherries. I'm so excited to go to the store, and there are cherries. I love them. Only seasonal. God says that in the seasons, no matter what you're living, in the seasons, a person that's planted deeply in with God yields fruits in their seasons. What season of life are you in right now? And what fruits are coming as you've spent time with God? How about the fruit of patience and forgiveness in the seasons of suffering? Or how about the fruit of faith in a season of trial? Or courage in a season of battle? Or wisdom in a season of decision? Or joy, the fruit of joy in a season of harvest? What season are you living in? For the blessed person, the person who spends time with God, you spend time with God enough, He will begin to change your life, and He will be given strength and wisdom and all these beautiful things that come from God. And all through your journey of life, be it generational or seasonal, God has blessings for you. As Jesus walks with you, you walk with Jesus. The person that stays close to God in Psalm 1 produces heavenly fruit in their lives, godly character for this life and the next. What season are you in right now? What seasons are we in right now with a pandemic and the economy? God says, grow deep. Stay awake with me. Be alert. Be watchful. Be Psalm 1. Seek God. Who do you learn from? Who do you listen to? The person who listens to God is blessed. No matter what's going on in the world, God has blessings for you no matter what's going on in the world. You know, I was thinking about this a year ago this time. You ever have on your cell phone, it shows you pictures that you took a year ago? A year ago, this time in August, I got to do Rebecca and Taylor's wedding. And here's a picture of them from a year ago. I hope I got that one up there. Is there a picture of their wedding? There they are. Look at them. Now they're going to, hey, you guys, if you're watching today, happy anniversary. It's coming up, isn't it? It was a beautiful day. Rebecca, you were a beautiful bride. This wedding was up north, Northern California, on Taylor's dad has like a resort up there. And this is where their wedding was, in the shade around all these beautiful trees. Do you remember? You know, when trees are planted, they're not just useful, but they're beautiful. Trees give shade. Trees give shade. Trees that are planted by water and they're growing and their leaves don't wither. But trees that are alive and have the leaves, they're beautiful and they're useful. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. You know, when you see a tree planted by streams of living water, there's a beauty to it. And it makes me wonder, is the person of Psalm 1 beautiful to the eyes of God? Providing shade and beauty in the world. Think about it. Child of God, in the eyes of God, you're beautiful. As you walk and grow and live in Him, He's not just blessing you, but He delights in you. And the shade that you have of the fruits of your life is a blessing to all around you. Those that have no idea why you live the way you do, you're still a blessing to them. Isn't that cool? There's a beauty that comes from full trees with its leaves that don't wither. Psalm chapter 1:3. Meditate on this. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do, they prosper. What type of prosperity is the Bible talking about? Is God going to give you money? How about the wealth of a godly marriage? Wealth of not being a bitter person, but a forgiving person. Wealth of making good decisions. Yes, making good decisions of work and finances. There's a guy named Dave Ramsey who's made a lot of money stealing or taking the principles of God's word on wealth. It does work. Ultimately, what God is speaking about is the prosperity of character. There's an old saying, you're not taking your career to heaven, but your character. What God is interested in is your character, godly character, as you've grown with Him. Prosperity of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's blessing, eternal blessing, from the person of Psalm 1. Let us read the psalm again and again and again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. But not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This is at the great white judgment throne. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The contrast. The Bible was written in an agricultural society. When you go to the Bible and you go to the land of the Bible, lots of beautiful farming areas. When you go to the Jezreel Valley, certain times you can see fields of wheat. Wheat. Have you ever seen a wheat field? It's interesting when you take a piece of wheat and you put it in your hand, there's actually the kernels of wheat and then there's the chaff. And the grate is the threshing floor. How do you, in the days of Jesus, in the days of the Old Testament, how do you separate the wheat from the chaff? And what they would do is they would take the wheat at harvest time, and they would smash it, and then they would throw it up in the air on a windy day. And as you throw the wheat, the whole thing together, the wind would blow the chaff away, but the wheat that's heavier would fall back to the ground. And as you kept doing this, you were separating the wheat from the chaff. What is the Scripture saying of the person that doesn't follow God? Who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the path of sinners, who sit in the seat of mockers. What does the Scripture say of these people? They're chaff. They're without substance. They're without spiritual weight in the eyes of the Creator. In the day of judgment, they will not be acquitted. They are a mess in this life and the next. They perish. That's what God says happens to these people. God in the Bible deals with our fallenness, deals with our redemption. It's a book interested in our rescue from sin, our moral rehabilitation, and our spiritual regeneration. God in the Bible is interested in keeping us right and making us useful and causing us to grow up to maturity as a child of God. The God of the Bible is interested in preparing us for the journey from this temporal life to eternity. This is what's on the heart of God revealed in His holy word. Blessing. A blessing. A blessing. How blessed is the person who understands this, and because of this, delights in the Word of God, in the voice and the instruction of heaven. Blessed. God wants to bless you this morning, no matter what's going on in the news, no matter what is happening in a broken, fallen world. God, your Father in heaven, wishes to bless you, to drive your life deep in the roots of God's Word. You know, it's interesting, Jesus, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. When Jesus spoke, He spoke as the living Word of God, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. And when you acknowledge Jesus and you begin to study Jesus, and before you know it, we're here to help you meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want you to meet Him. I want you to know Him. But to follow Him is to delight in Him and to trust in Him. And Jesus, in His famous Sermon on the Mount, as He begins that sermon with blessings 9 times, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed. He ends and He says, he who hears these words of mine and acts upon them is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. When the storms of life come, and they will, that house shall stand because that house has been built upon the rock. But the foolish person, it's a person who builds their house on the sand. And when the storms of life come, their house will fall down, and great is its destruction. For they built their foundation. They built their life on the wrong foundation. Jesus says, he who hears these words of mine is a wise man who builds his life upon the person and the teachings of God, the Word of God in human flesh. Who are you listening to? Who are you learning from? How you answer that question will determine your blessing from the Almighty. Do you learn from God? There's no way you can learn from God without studying His Word. Psalm 1. How blessed is the person who does this and not this. And this will be the outcome of their life. They will prosper in this life and the next. Compare and contrast. I want to end my sermon today as I challenge you on your spiritual journey with the Word, with the wisdom of God. How are you embracing it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul, years later, after Psalms was written, was speaking to this young man named Timothy. And he says this as he writes a letter to him. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. That's good. Because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Wise for salvation. Are you wise for salvation? You will only find people this wisdom in God's message to you as you focus on His Word, His Scriptures. And people who find this is blessed. Are you wise for salvation? God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is holy. God says that He's holy. He explains this to Moses. You don't come near. You are not. You contaminate me. I'm holy and you're not. God is separate from us. We're fallen people. Is there anybody that morally is so disgusting to you, you don't want to be around them? Somehow in the holiness of God, no humanity can stand in the presence of God. It's like bringing in an animal that maybe you found in the street and it's covered with poop and covered with sores and pus. Are you going to allow that animal in your house? No, you're going to clean that animal up first before you allow that animal in your house. You find some stray dog that you have mercy on. You're not bringing that house in, dog in with fleet. You're going to clean that. That's God. The truth is God is holy and you're not, and yet God loves you. And God can't deal with your sinfulness unless He washes away your sin so you can be with Him for all eternity. The truth is that you, to be wise for salvation, need to understand what Jesus did on the cross for you. Jesus did not come to earth because He was bored. Jesus came to earth because God loves you. For God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish. That you believe on Christ. Believe what on Christ? That Jesus takes all your stuff, all your rebellion and sin, all your flaws and faults and sins, everything that you've done in word, action, and deed, anything that's offensive to the Almighty, Jesus takes upon Himself on a cross. He pays for your sins that you don't have to. He who knew no sin becomes sin on your behalf, that you would become the righteousness of God. Jesus takes His sin upon your sin upon Him, and He gives you His righteousness. This is wisdom for salvation. You're all going to stand before God one day and give an account of your life. Does that scare you? It should. There is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming in all our lives and upon this world. And God is not to be trifled with. God will deal with what's wicked and evil in this world, for He's a good judge, and He will judge. And when God comes to judge you, what will He say? Has your transgressions been washed clean because of Christ? Because of you have accepted what Jesus has done in your life? Or do you mock this and laugh at this and scoff at this? Fine. You'll still be judged. You will not be acquitted. Someone else will not pay your debt. You will. An eternity separated from the Almighty. Great. If that's what you wish, so shall it be. Foolish. The Scriptures will make one wise for salvation. Are you wise? Are you a fool? Your decisions will play out in the next 50 to 80 years. If you wish to be with the Almighty, It's so simple. You accept Christ. You come to the altar. You repent of your sin. You acknowledge, Jesus, you're real. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I accept what you've done for me on the cross. And I ask that you wash away my sin. I pray that you would cast my sins as far as from the east as to the west. I pray that you would prepare me to be in heaven and that you would prepare a place for me one day beyond this mortal body. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to give you eternity with the Almighty God through His sacrifice. You accept that. You're wise for salvation. In the Word of God. God has spoken. God speaks to you today. Who do you listen to? Who do you learn from? Do you learn from the rabbi from Nazareth? Do you learn from the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Do you learn from the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? Who do you listen to? Fox News, CNN, MSN? Professors? Friends? Social media? World? Thoughts? Who do you listen to? Who do you learn from? Blessed is the one who learns from the Almighty God. And as we do, we're awake. We're spiritually awakened in a light. We're illuminated, revelation of who God is and who we are. As you pick this up and you study this, you will move from acknowledging it to studying it to learning to delight in it and who the one is who ultimately wrote it to you. And you will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruits in its seasons. No matter what is going on in the world, God will bless you as you learn from Him. Blessings for this life and the next. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, it's a very simple thing. You pray a prayer that goes like this. A prayer that I prayed in 1985. As I went from acknowledging to studying to this is incredible. Medicine for my soul. Jesus, I accept you this day as the Savior of my soul. By faith, I embrace the gift of eternal life. I accept what you did for me upon the cross. I ask, Lord, today that you would wash my sins away and that you would prepare a place for me in heaven, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon my life. As I humble myself before you today, I pray for this new journey with Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch my eyes, that I might see, and open my ears, that I might hear. God, may you help me to journey into eternity. I pray, Lord God, for your presence with me today in Jesus' name. Amen. My brother and my sister, you're here today. Pastor Frank, I did that one long ago. Dwell. Be awake. Don't be asleep, my brother and my sister. These are not days to sleep. These are days to be awake. As the worship team comes up and we're about to sing this last song, oh, come to the altar. May we all come to the altar this morning. And may our eyes be opened again. May God once again purify us and speak unto us. And may God give us the desires of our heart as we align our will to His. These are good days. These are exciting days. These are serious days. These are days for you to draw close to the Lord. These are days not to sleep, my friend. Let's worship the Lord with this song. Let's worship the Lord.